This is a HeadGum Podcast. Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company that lets you message a licensed therapist from anywhere at any time. All you need is a computer with the internet or the Talkspace mobile app. That means you can improve your mental health even if you've had trouble making time for it in the past. I truly cannot say more positive things about Talkspace. I think that this is such an incredible platform, such an incredible idea. It truly gives you access anywhere, anytime to therapy, which is so important. You guys know how we feel about it on the show. We are huge advocates for therapy, and this truly allows you to, you know, have therapy at the convenience of your time, and you don't need to worry about driving somewhere or where as a therapist that's close to you. It's truly on your phone or on your computer. It's truly amazing. It's just the best. You know, you don't need to commute or leave your office or leave your house. You can just completely have a judgment-free zone right from the comfort of your own home. So the Talkspace platform has over 2,000 licensed therapists who are experienced in addressing life challenges we all face. To match with a perfect therapist for a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, go to Talkspace.com/LadyLovin and use the code LadyLovin to get $45 off of your first month and show your support for this show. That's LadyLovin and Talkspace.com/LadyLovin. Hello, lady lovers. Welcome to a new episode of Lady Lovin'. We hope you guys are all having a beautiful week, don't we, Jilly?
We really do. We hope that you're just, flourishing in your personal lives and in your careers and just like believing in yourself.
Exactly. It is just a Jilly Greta episode today. Hello, Jilly.
Hello, Greta. Just the two of us.
How are you doing?
We can make it if we try. I love that song.
It's a great song.
You know, I've been listening to... I'm good. I've been listening to a lot of, like, 90s female music. Like, you know, remember that song, Bitch? That's like...
I'm your bitch. I'm your lover. I'm a child. I'm a mother. Yeah. I'm a sinner. I'm a saint. Yeah.
I've been listening to that, and then I've been, like, wanting to sing karaoke, and I think it's because I'm, like, looking for a way to express myself. And like let loose in like
karaoke.
A non-threatening. I'm looking to like let loose in like a non-threatening environment. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I mean, you know what song I've been listening to on repeat?
What?
Do you remember Black? Remember that band? BLAQUE.
Yeah, I think so.
Bring it all to me. Bring it all.
I love that song.
I can be your fantasy.
Yeah,
I love that song.
I feel you, girl.
It's so good.
I've been trying to, like, listen to things to, you know, feel something. Just feel anything.
I hear you. I hear you.
What else is going on?
Oh, my God. I had no idea that one of the lead singers of Black died in 2012. That's so sad.
Really?
Yeah, I'm looking them up right now. What else is going on? I had a lot of work to do last week, and I'm feeling relieved that I got it all done. And it's Saturday, and I woke up and ate pancakes this morning.
That's fun. Did you have what flavor? Were they like almond flour?
They were buckwheat flax pancakes from Cafe Gratitude, and I really like went crazy and got it with berries and bananas and maple syrup, and they're like really delicious cashew whipped cream stuff. They were so good.
I mean, that sounds amazing. I had broccoli and a scrambled egg.
So you're like, broccoli and a scrambled egg. That's delicious.
It was good, but it was also just like, cool. This is, you know what you're eating. You know what I mean? There was no surprises, so I didn't like that.
I know. But where'd you go? Did you make that?
No, there's this restaurant, I talk about it every week on the podcast, I think, called Westbourne, and I'm obsessed with it, and it's like right next to
my house. Oh yeah, Cammie's restaurant.
Yeah, it's Cammie's restaurant. I go every week. I mean, I go every day pretty much, and I love all of their food, but I like it because they have a bunch of vegetables and I can add eggs, or, you know, it's just like very healthy. It doesn't feel like I'm eating at a restaurant. It just feels like maybe I'm cooking. And it's next door, so I'm, like, also, like, maybe cooking, but I'm not, you know what I mean?
I do. You know, Jilly, I think we have an exciting announcement for all of our listeners.
We do. Oh my God, I almost forgot about it.
I know. We like are 6 minutes into the pod, basically, and we almost forgot to say it.
It's pretty huge. It's going to maybe change people's lives. I don't know.
I hope it does. You guys, we are doing a Lady Lovin' Live at Caroline's on Broadway on October 22nd.
It's going to be pretty crazy. We are going to answer all of your advice questions. We're going to bring people up on the stage per usual.
Yes.
We are going to get in deep. I'm pretty excited about it, Greta.
Our live shows are my favorite things, and I'm really excited about it. You guys can get tickets at Caroline's website, which is, I will tell you right now, carolines.com, and you just go to their schedule, and then you go to October 22nd, and you see little old us right there. And you get tickets.
And the thing that
and it's great.
Also, I want to tell people is we're not doing any other live shows this year. So this is going to be the only time to see us live is going to be at Caroline's on October 22nd.
Yes, so you must come. It's the perfect Monday night activity, honestly.
It is.
And it's great. You guys are going to have the best time. You get to, like, eat their delicious fried zucchini thingies that they have a cocktail. Just like, you know, really live life.
And learn something about yourself. All three of those things.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so fun. Arts, you guys just got to come. Come, come, come. Come one, come all. I did get some DMs of people coming from Chicago.
Ooh.
Flying in to the city for the show, which I think is incredible.
Chicago's a great city. I'd like to spend more time there.
You guys, Chicago is a great city. I've only ever gone to Chicago once, but I had a great time while I was there.
Yeah, I think I went once too. I went because my ex-boyfriend was running the Chicago Marathon. And so
and you went to watch
I went
him?
Because I'm like a so supportive girlfriend, you know what I mean?
And wait, your ex-boyfriend that from LA?
Yeah. Was running the Chicago Marathon. It was really a fun weekend because we got to eat a lot of food. We got pedicures because, like, he needed to, like, prepare.
Loosen up his little feet.
And then we went to a great restaurant, stayed at a really nice hotel with comfy beds, got pedicures. He ran the race.
How was his time? Did he have a good finishing time?
I don't even remember. It is funny, though, when you date someone that has, like a passion like that, because you end up traveling and it kind of takes up like a good portion of your relationship. And if you're not someone that's like into running or like into like, you know, having weekends at races, it's kind of, it's a interesting thing, you know?
Yeah, I do. I've never been a marathon. What?
Do you think you could ever date someone that is a marathon runner?
Sure. I could date someone that's a marathon runner. I could never be a marathon runner. I could never run 26 miles. Mostly because, like, I'm just not interested. I could physically do it, but I'm just, like, not interested in running, in doing that.
I ran a half marathon once, and that was fun. But I think that...
Didn't you run the Brooklyn half marathon or something?
You know, I signed up for it, Greta, and I never did. I never ended up pulling the trigger, but I did.
What
run,
half marathon did you run?
I ran a half marathon when I lived in LA, and the most fun for me was just running like 6 miles on a Saturday on the weekend. Like, to me was like fun. Like, I don't need to run like 11 miles or 13 miles, and like I just like don't need to do that. But I did like being in shape enough to run like 6 or 7 miles on a Saturday morning, and then like have lunch after. Like, that's a nice little afternoon.
Yeah, no, that is. When you like have endorphins from running, it's truly like nothing is better.
Since then, you know, I haven't really run more than 4 miles, which is kind of funny. I got a bit over it. Now I'm like very into classes, as like everyone probably knows, because I'm obsessed with it with them.
Yeah, I just, you know, the body, man. I like to, you know what I've been doing recently? A lot of elliptical, a lot of aggressive ellipticaling.
I could see that. I could see you in a pair of bike shorts, like, at the 24-hour fitness on the elliptical, like, reading scripts.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm doing. That's my life.
I envision that for you. I've been really into weight training. Lifting weights has kind of been changing my body. I'm getting like the other day, my friend was like, wow, your back looks great. I was like, what a compliment. Like, no one's ever complimented me on my back before. And I think it's from all the weights.
Yeah, weightlifting is dope.
Yeah, I'm into
gotta pop
it.
Those weights.
It's really,
you know, I loved a back squat. I love myself a back squat.
It's pretty intimidating if you've ever been someone that has tried to lift weights before. Like, my form is horrible. Like, I don't even know what like a flat back meant really until I started. Uh-huh. But it really does change your body if you can kind of get over the like intimidating factor of lifting weights or learning how to do it.
Yeah. Got to pump iron, babe.
Yeah.
You know, hit the gym, hit those dumbbells, get it popping. You know what I always thought was funny? How like movies, high school depictions of gyms, just like so intense. Like people just lifting weights in the middle of the day. That never happened at my high school, really. Or at least not to my knowledge. Did your high school? I feel like your high school would have had like a legit weight room.
I honestly couldn't tell you. I never went into a weight room in my high school. We had like a football team, but I don't think we were any good. And, you know, I think that for us, like the sports were like all outdoors. Like it was like go surfing or play tennis.
Did you have a surf team?
We had water polo. Like water polo was like the cool sport, you know? And I don't think that they like lifted weights really. I think they just like, they were all lifeguards in the summer and then they would play water polo. So they were always just like running and like, you know, saving children through and like riptides. And like, that's how they would like lift weights, I think would be like the children that they rescued from the water.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Definitely just benching kids.
Yeah. So we get to some questions, Greta?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
I think we had some interesting questions that came in this past week. So
I have one that's up right now that we can start with.
Let's hear it.
All right. The subject line is never done doggy.
Oh.
So, you know, our listener is seeking some advice with something she has never dealt with before. All right. I'm going to try and summarize this as best I can. Okay. My boyfriend of 5 years broke up with me a little over a year ago because I moved to a new city to follow my dream job, but she has been killing the dating scene, going on so many dates, but she just hasn't found the right match. I mean, it takes time, girl, you know? She recently met a guy who is so sweet and charming. He has a great job. We enjoy the same things, but he is a bit inexperienced in bed. Side note, I basically consider myself a sexual vixen. Not much I won't try. I love sex. And let's just say I've been around the block a few times. Okay. With other guys I've dated, our sex has been great, amazing. So, you know, it always fell down to how they treated her. So, Okay. I'm going to just read this because this is actually very detailed and she went through the effort of writing a very detailed sexual encounter. So you know what? Because of that, you deserve me to read it for real. The first time this new guy and I hooked up, I was on top. He came pretty quickly and we didn't do any other positions. He fingered me a little before, but only inside my vagina? I was like, is this a red flag? I decided it was our first time. Let's give it another shot. So then the second time, same thing. I was on top. He came super fast and only fingered me for foreplay. So the next time he was fingering me, I took his hand and put his finger on my clit and showed him the motion. Afterwards, I asked, so do you know what my clit is? He said no. I asked if he ever made his ex come, and then he said yes through sex. I'm thinking, yeah, right. But I said, okay, you have a lot to learn about the vagina. And he said cutely back, okay, you need to teach me. Then I asked him if he watched porn and tried to probe to see if there was anything else he was interested in. As we started talking more, turns out he's never even done doggy. I straight up asked him, how is it possible that you dated your ex for 2 years and you guys never tried other positions? He said, I don't know, we just had a routine. Okay. So now she likes this guy. Does she really feel like teaching him and putting him all the work when she could just wait and find someone who clicks in the beginning? If I can have great sex with other guys, am I willing to put in the effort to get into a sexual groove with this guy?
Of all possible shortcomings of a potential boyfriend, I guess being inexperienced in bed is better than other qualities he could be lacking. He treats me amazing and is smart and funny and charming. I'm 25. He's 27. I just don't understand how someone who was in a fraternity in college, traveled all over Europe, has tons of friends, etc., has never done some of these sexual things. How do I lightly teach him stuff without being awkward? I don't want to make him uncomfortable or belittle him. Do you have any tips? I sent him an article on how to eat a woman out. Seemed to help so far.
This chick is the confident, and I love it.
I know. I think that
I'm impressed with how open this woman is. I mean, it's like a lot of people have a lot of trouble even saying what you just said ever in their life. So props to you for really just, you know, owning what you want.
I guess I was a little confused by the subject line of this email because I thought she was implying that she's never done doggy, but now it's about the fact that he's never done doggy.
Yeah.
Also, I would just like to say, just because someone was like in a frat and is like well-traveled and has a lot of friends, that means nothing to sex experiences. I know people that are virgins that have done all of that. You know, that has nothing, to do with anything. But like, I do get where she's coming from. Having done doggy and like only having sex in one position, like, yeah, I do see how that's kind of weird. But at the same time, sex is such a delicate thing that people feel like really vulnerable. And I'm sure that he just wants to do what makes him feel like safe and confident too, you know?
Well, I feel like a lot of times, you know, in all of your experiences, you like learn something new from someone else and you kind of pick up things along the way. So like maybe he just hasn't been with any other women that are as experienced as you or that like to do the things that you like to do. So I wouldn't necessarily think that's a bad thing. And like, it's not like he's sitting here saying that he's not interested in trying things, like he's with you. So I just don't think this is like anything to be worried about. I think it's just that you're dating someone that's less experienced than you, and you just have to like help guide him along the way. Like, I don't think this is a red flag at all.
Right. I also think that there's something like fun about teaching someone like sex stuff, because then you get to fully teach them to your body.
Yeah, definitely.
So he just becomes like your perfect sex mate. You know what I mean?
Ali Wong, one of my favorite comedians, has a bunch of jokes about this. So you should watch her special. But yeah, I mean, none of this is like any sort of thing to be worried about. I think it's just that maybe you're used to being with people that are more experienced, but I would rather be with a guy like this who treats me nice and I have a lot of fun with and we have a great relationship, and that he's maybe a little bit less experienced, but he's willing to like go there, than be with someone that's super experienced that you don't even like. You know what I mean?
Totally. I agree. I also think that like doing what you're doing by just being open and like talking with him is the best way to teach him stuff without being awkward. I think that if you're in the moment, like in the moment, you can sort of talk about it and coach someone through, you know?
Also, like if she was a woman that was like, you know, I'm not comfortable really having these conversations and I don't know how to communicate with him, like I would say maybe this is the right person based off your communication level. But just based off this email, it seems like you're really amazing at communicating and you know what you want. And so I think that's the biggest hurdle. And a lot of people aren't able to even get there or be as self-aware as you are. So that's like the biggest hurdle.
Yeah. And, you know, I do agree with what she's saying. Like having someone that is a little inexperienced in bed is like, who cares?
Yeah.
If they're a great person, if you enjoy spending time with them, if they treat you well, like that's truly all that matters. Like being with some guy that's like a fox in the sheets or whatever, like, but then is a dick to you, that's like, what the fuck is the point of that? There is none, you know?
Yeah, agree.
I also like that she called him out on the fact that she didn't think he ever made his ex come from sex.
This chick is very funny. I'm into her.
Yeah, I'm into her too. The fingering thing, some guys really don't know how to work the clit. Just going to throw it out there. Some guys don't. I mean, we have really amazing vaginas, and you need to just like, if he's willing to learn, then like be his guide.
Also, everyone's different. Like maybe things that he tried before with his past girlfriends worked on them and they're not going to work on you and all of that, you know? So it's like, you know, it's really all about like knowing each other's bodies, what Greta was saying.
Yeah. I think that you should continue seeing this guy and continue like infiltrating his brain with vaginal wisdom.
What a positive email and response we just had. I'm really loving today's episode so far. Just throwing it out there. If I would have to rate this episode, I'm giving it an 8.5.
Good. Well, I'm about to take a little break in our episode so we can hear from our beautiful sponsors, but then we'll be right back with more questions.
Perfect.
Okay, you guys, what do we love at Lady Loving?
Mott and Beau.
Yes, I was going to say pants, but then you just went and you said Mott and Beau.
Pants.
Yes, and Mott and Beau. And Mott and Beau is awesome. Mott and Beau was, we used to read for them on our podcast a while ago, and we're so happy
They
are back. Because Mott and Beau are incredible jeans that fit you perfectly and feel amazing, and they don't cost you hundreds of dollars.
I want some.
Mott and Beau has permanently changed the game with $200 designer jeans for half the price, and the best part about it is you get to try everything on at home. I love that so much.
I love that.
You guys, they look incredible. They're so comfortable. You'll want to live in them. They're truly luxury jeans for $100. That's crazy. And they're only available at mottandbeau.com. They're super flattering on your curves. They stretch without getting stretched out. They hug you in all the right places. And they aren't restricting. They're super comfy. And, you know, they're washing and handcrafted. Dry finish processing is a part of what makes each pair exquisitely comfortable and 100% unique. So here's what's so amazing about them. They ship you two sizes. You get to try on both, and you keep the one that works. Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
You guys, these are $200 designer jeans for half the price. Plus, their September savings event, which means you will save 20% on everything at mottandbeau.com/lovin. That's Mott, M-O-T-T, and Beau, Bow.com/lovin for 20% off everything. This is their best deal anywhere, but it's only for the month of September, Lowe's birthday month, okay? So save 20% during Mott and Beau's September savings event at mottandbeau.com/lovin.
Oh my gosh, you guys, have you heard of Squarespace? Sorry, that was a really weird way to start an advertisement, but we're going to roll with it. Today's episode of Lady Lovin is brought to you by Squarespace, you guys. Oh my gosh.
We love Squarespace.
My personal website, thelowdown.com, is built on Squarespace, and it's because I wanted to build it myself, and they make it super easy to create any website that is absolutely beautiful just in a couple of clicks. So I'm a huge fan of Squarespace because of these beautiful templates that have been created by world-class designers. It's a powerful e-commerce site that allows you to sell anything online, and you can just customize the look and feel, the settings, the products with just a couple of clicks, and everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box, and everyone is looking at the internet on their cell phone these days, so having your own website be mobile respondent. How do you say that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where basically like you look at a website on a phone
and it has to work.
It has to work perfectly. And everything from Squarespace does, which is so awesome. So if you want to create your own amazing store, blog, website, whatever, just head to squarespace.com/lovin, L-O-V-I-N for a free trial. And when you are ready to launch, use the offer code LOVIN, L-O-V-I-N, to save 10% off of your purchase of a website or domain. So again, just check out at squarespace.com/lovin for a free trial. And when you're ready, just use that code LOVIN to save 10% off your first purchase.
And we are back. That was great. Wasn't that great?
It was beautiful. I love our sponsors, you know?
I know. I do too. I really, really do. Okay, should I bring our next question in?
Yeah, let's bring it.
Okay, this one, this is like a sexy podcast, but, you know, I love a sexy podcast. Okay, the subject of this one is sex anxieties. Hi, ladies. So for the last 2 years, every time I have sex, I have crazy anxieties about the possible consequences. I fear I will get pregnant or contract an STD. And these fears overtake my mind until I get tested for both. I have an IUD, meaning no periods, and use condoms most of the time. So I recognize these fears are irrational, but cannot shake them. They've gotten so intense that I don't even have sex anymore. I only have three times in the last 2 years. Help. I used to be a very sexual person, and I hate that these fears are taking that away from me in my years of youth.
Well, just to throw this out there, I think that, like, as we get older, things become more serious. Like, you know, when you're younger, maybe you, like, didn't always, like, ride in the car with, like, a seatbelt on. You know what I mean? And then as you get older, you're like, oh, that's a smart thing to do. So I think that this is, like, something that comes with, like, growing up a bit. You're more cautious about, you know, like using protection and like the consequences of sex, maybe less than you were when you were younger. So I think there's a bit of that there, but I would just say that, you know, I don't necessarily think this is a bad thing. I mean, like maybe, you know, this woman, you know, wants to just be with men that she feels more comfortable with anyway. And this is kind of like her body telling her that, you know, I think that it could be a little bit of that.
I don't know. I think that she's expressing anxieties that are kind of ruining her life. I think that the anxiety is overtaking, like, I think any sexual desire that she has is being completely controlled by this anxiety that she's going to, you know, either get pregnant or contract an STD, you know?
I guess.
And I think that that's not even allowing her. She said she's only had sex three times in the past 2 years. And yeah. She said she used to be a very sexual person. And she hates that these fears are taking that away from her. I don't know. I think maybe you need to like start figuring out what the root of the anxiety is, like why she is suddenly so anxious about all of this, you know, why she's so anxious that she'll get pregnant or contract an STD. She has an IUD as well. I mean, you're on birth control, so.
Well, I guess I would want to know, like, are you looking for a relationship? Are you looking for one person to be with? Are you wanting to, you know, be casual? Like, those are all things that I think that, once you figure that out, that could help with the anxiety. And I think what I was trying to say before is like, you know, maybe you're looking for something like, or someone to just have like that relationship with where you don't have to worry about those things. You know what I mean? And like, right, that's something that's like super comfortable and you don't have to be like as, you know, stressed out or anxiety driven because it's not a stranger. You know, and and so if that's something that you're maybe what I'm saying is maybe your body's telling you that you need to be gravitating towards maybe finding one partner to experience all this with that way that you won't have anxiety versus like having multiple partners where you're not sure and that causes anxiety.
Right. I don't know. I also think that, you know, when she says she uses condoms most of the time and she recognizes that her fears are irrational, I think that there's something deeper going on here. I think that you need to maybe, like, I don't know if you're talking to a therapist or anything like that, but I think that these anxieties are, this sounds really extreme to me. This sounds like it's really upsetting her. I don't know.
Definitely.
I understand these fears. I also want to let you know that I've had an STD, and obviously no one wants to get STDs, but, you know, not all STDs, like, a lot of STDs can be cured, is my point. And I understand STD anxiety. Obviously, no one wants to contract one. It's hellish. But at the same time, like, I don't know. There's a way to think about things more rationally. And clearly, her anxiety is making her be very irrational. Because she's already on the, she already has the IUD, you know? So pregnancy is really not a concern here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If she's having sex without condoms, I understand the STD anxiety for sure. You're not going to get STDs.
I've said this before. Like, I'm not someone that, like, is a casual person. And, like, a big part of both those reasons are for, you know, getting pregnant by accident and or, like, an STD. Like, I'd rather be with a partner that I know that I want to be with and that I trust and that I know that doesn't have anything, any sort of STD, and or like if there was, you know, a possibility that I got pregnant, that we would, you know, do that together. You know what I mean? So I think that like for me, I avoid even having any of those anxieties because I just don't do that. But like, that's mm-hmm. something that like, I know myself and that's what I'm comfortable with. So I think that she right. has to just figure that out. Like, I think if yeah. I did, if I was someone that did all that, because I'm more of an anxious person, because there's certain things that cross my mind that maybe don't worry other people, like, I know that I'm not going to do those things because I don't want to have that anxiety.
Right. But at the same time, like, I think that for you, Jillian, in your relationships, when you're with that person, you those fears then don't overcome you. You know what I'm saying? I think yeah. that that's like the I think that's the difference. I think that for her, she can't even like reach that level of intimacy with everyone because this anxiety just like overcomes her.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I hope you know? That I would recommend that she definitely talk to a professional about this.
Totally. I think that there's something else going on here that like you might not even be aware of. Like I've been talking to my therapist of all these tendencies that I have where it's really just like another thing that I'm extremely anxious about being projected in this other thing that I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that that could really help. And I also think that like calming down and sort of trying to it's hard to view things rationally when you're super anxious, so I get that. But I think that stepping back, understanding this is something that you want to, you know, get over and work on, and then I think just accepting that you want to work on it and pushing forward is going to be, like, super helpful, and I think that you'll do it.
Beautiful.
Great. All right. Our next question is I feel like this is not going anywhere. A little background on me. I am an introvert and very quiet girl. I'm 25 and I have never had a relationship. Last time I kissed a guy was 4 years ago. I consider myself attractive and I get a lot of attention from guys, but have had a very hard time liking someone and building a connection. I decided I would give dating apps a try. I recently started talking to this guy a month ago, and we text every couple days. He seems very nice, but the problem is our conversation always starts as, what did you do today, and how are you, and doesn't really move past that. I suck at texting, but I try to ask him questions to keep the convo going, but he doesn't open up or say much to keep it going. I don't know how to make a smooth change from that to talking about anything else or him asking me out. This makes me really sad, and I'm starting to believe that because of my personality, I push guys away, or I'm meant to be lonely, or I'm not an interesting person. I would love some advice and tips. Well, I think, first of all, you need to stop this negative self-talk about yourself.
Yeah.
You need to stop saying to yourself that it's because of your personality that you're pushing guys away or that you're meant to be lonely or you're not an interesting person. Like, you need to stop saying those things to yourself and you need to stop verbalizing them to the world because none of that is true at all. You also need to understand that in relationships, there are two people, you know, two people. So if you're trying to have a conversation and he's not giving you anything, you're trying. You know, that's as much as you can do. He also needs to participate. So it's not just you. He needs to participate too, and he needs to take initiative as well, you know?
I agree. I also think that texting is so hard. Like when she's talking about, you know, talking to these men on dating apps, like it's very hard to connect over these dating apps. Like, you know, texting back and forth, saying something funny, you know, catching someone where they're free, you know, and they're not maybe in the middle of something at home at work. Like it's like you have no idea what the other person's doing and if they're present at that moment when you're talking to them. So, like, I think that, like, the whole dating app thing, like, you could talk to 40 people and, like, nothing could happen. You know what I mean? And that has nothing to do right. with you. It has to do with the fact that, okay, maybe they're, you know, in the middle of something at work. Maybe they don't go on the apps all the time. Maybe they're not looking for a relationship. Like, there's so many different variables that play in here, and it doesn't mean that it is you. Greta, do you have any tips on how to chat with men on dating apps? Like,
I mean, I always view dating apps as a video game, which like sounds crazy, but I think that like you need to, you know, just if you want to hang out with him, if you want to get a drink with him, I would just like cut the bullshit and just be like, hey, are you around this week? Do you want to get a drink? You know what I mean? Because the intention with all dating apps is to eventually meet in person.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our episode with Abe, I feel like we talked about this a lot. But I think that you should vocalize your intention. And, like, if you want to get a drink with him, I think you should 100% make the move and just be like, hey, are you around this week? Do you want to grab a drink? And, like, see what he says. And if he says no, then you know what? There's no point in talking to him anymore, because we aren't just here to have these, like, awkward text exchanges that are supposed to fill some hole for a relationship. That's not why we go online. We go online so that we can actually meet someone in person and have a real connection, you know?
Yeah, agreed.
So I think that I would just, like, cut right through this shit and be like, hey, I know you're an introvert, but challenge yourself. You know what I mean? And also, what's the worst that can happen? You've never met this guy. You know, you don't really know him that well. You've been chatting a little for a month. Worst that can happen, he says no. You never have to see him or deal with him again, because you never had to see him or deal with him in the first place.
Yeah, I also think that, like, you know, what Greta was saying, trying to get, you know, something to happen outside of the texting, and, like, then you're going to know. If someone shows up, then that's 50, like, or whatever the percentage is that people say, that's, like, half the battle. Then you just have to figure out if you like each other. But at least you know that that person is definitely interested in meeting someone, because they made the effort to get there. And so I think, like, meeting people offline is super important and super telling. Like, I would say, even if you've talked to someone for months, it means nothing unless you've met them. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's the actual action. That's the action. Anyone can text from their bed or the bathroom or whatever they're doing, but the action is actually, you know, getting dressed and meeting you and having that conversation in person.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. I think that, you know, number one, stop the negative self-talk. Really try and channel positivity into your brain about yourself, because you know what? You actually aren't an introvert and you aren't boring. You wrote into our show, which is proving everything that you just said to me to be completely false, you know?
And you created these profiles on these dating apps, and that's a step.
Yeah, exactly. You're, like, willing to put yourself out there. And, you know, it's totally fine and normal if you're quiet or if you're shy. But I think that just seeing if he's willing to meet up, and just across the board with anyone you talk to online that you're interested in, I think that seeing if they're willing to meet up, like, that is the only way to indicate whether or not it's worth your time, you know? All right. Do we have time for one more question?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Yep.
How do you deal with losing hope? I've had a pretty rough dating past. I dated my college boyfriend for 4 years after college, thought we would get married, and then he just broke up with me and took off. It took me a long time to recover from that. I dated here and there, but there have been a fair amount of emotionally abusive relationships. And then last spring, I met this guy who I really liked. He was very into me from the start. Date two, he asked me to be exclusive. 3 weeks in, he was pushing me to meet my family and all my friends, and wanted to hang out constantly. I told him I needed to slow down a little. He respected it, but I continued to push until I got there. I was 100% in. He met my sister and her family and all my friends. We went away for the weekend, and he was making plans in a couple weeks to meet his family. And then 2 days later, he came over and broke up with me. He couldn't explain it, but just didn't have the feeling. I was devastated and also confused. He was pushing me so hard and was so into me. I have no idea what happened. I can't understand it, and I also am losing hope because I don't know how many times I can go through this. Any advice?
I feel like this reminds me a lot of my last relationship. The guy was the one that kind of, you know, pursued me, moved the relationship along, like, asked to be exclusive, you know, introduced me to his parents first, everything. And then he sort of just one day walked away. And it's something that I'll never really be able to understand. And I think that, like, a lot of times women, you know, more than men, when this sort of thing happens, they really want to know why and they want all of the answers. And sometimes it's just really that the other person doesn't have the ability to tell you why, and you're never really going to find out the answer. And so I think that, like, you know, knowing that you may never know and just having peace with that is something that, like, you should try to come to terms with, because no matter how many times you talk to them and you say, well, you did all of this and you did all of this, and, like, why, you know, why did you leave? And, like, why don't you want to be with me? Like, you're never really going to get the answer that you need for closure. And even if you do kind of get a little bit of the answer, it's never really like, you know, going to help you that much. Just like knowing that it's over and trying to move on like that is what's going to really help you move on. So I think from like that perspective, instead of trying to like, you know, understand why the relationship ended, just know that it ended and that you have to move on and kind of approach it, I think, from that perspective, because I feel like that will really help you. In terms of like feeling hopeless and like you can't do it again, it's just like, you know, I've felt like that. I've had like a lot of, you know, relationships end recently, and like, especially in like the past few years. And I know that feeling of feeling like you're not going to meet you, like you can't really like do this again because it's so painful, but you just kind of have to realize that, like, that's what life is, you know, and some people, you know, met their soulmates or their partners or whatever, like when they were 20, some people met them at 25, some people like, you know, still haven't met them. And that's just kind of the way that like life goes. And I think you just have to like really find in yourself a sense of acceptance to know that like, this is just the journey that you're on. And it may not be easy and you may get your heart broken again, but like, that's just what life is. I know that's like a mouthful, but like, that's kind of where my mind is at right now. So I don't know if that's helpful for her.
I mean, it's true. Like, you can't, you know, you can't go into any relationship without the risk of getting your heart broken. That's like number one. And what this guy did to you, I agree with Jilly. It's like something where you're never going to have one clear answer as to why he did that. That's fucked up. I feel, you know, the same way that I feel about what went on with Jilly is fucked is the same way that I feel that went on with you is fucked. Like, when you have that person that is so into you and that you really feel like was pushing you to sort of commit and do all these things with him, and then he suddenly leaves, it's like being totally blindsided. But I often think that the kind of person that does that is someone that, you know, wants a relationship but cannot figure out how to actually then commit. Like, when everything is real, when everything is there, they're then like, oh my God, is this actually what I want? And they start to freak out because they're, you know, they're probably insecure, they're probably not that mature, and they probably just like don't even know how to handle their own emotions, let alone the responsibility of handling another person's, you know? And I think that, I know that this is going to sound cliche, but I think that it's like for the best that you're not with this person. I think that this person clearly couldn't handle being in a relationship, and honestly, a blessing in disguise that he ended things when he did. And I think now you need to just like I agree with Jilly, like realize that this is kind of a part of it. This is kind of life. You are going to meet someone. You are going to fall in love. And like, this is the shitty and unfortunate side of dating and being an emotionally vulnerable and open person and sharing your feelings with someone, you know? Letting someone into your heart is a really real thing, and when it's not handled with care, it's very hurtful.
Yeah, it's also like, you know, think about it maybe also in this light, you know, you will meet someone having gone through all these relationships and having experienced all this, where I think the next person that you pick is going to be like really a lot of, you know, what you want in a partner and what you want for your life, because you've gone through it a lot of times. And that is going to like overwrite maybe a lot of arguments and fights that someone, you know, young, when they meet someone younger, the first relationship, and they have to deal with kind of more roadblocks, maybe you'll surpass all of those roadblocks because you're, you know, have more of a focus on what you want in someone. So you'll miss out on those hardships and those, you know, those feelings of loneliness or whatever that brings. So I think that there's like also a lot of good that can come with, you know, having gone through a lot of heartbreak and really just coming out, you know, on the other side and finding that right person that, you know, maybe is more, I guess, a more exact version of what you're looking for in a man.
I agree. Don't let this make you lose hope. Don't let this give up. You will find love, I promise. I know it's discouraging and that getting your heart broken fucking it sucks. It sucks the life out of you, but there is someone that you will meet that, you know, by meeting this other person, you'll have learned. You will have learned from this relationship. So Just remember that.
Agree.
All right. Well, this was a great episode, don't you think, Jilly?
Yeah, it was very therapeutic. I feel like I just went to therapy.
I know, me too. You guys, please come to our live therapy session at Caroline's on Broadway 22nd. On October 22nd so we can therapize with our lady loving live advice. It's going to be so much fun, and it would mean a lot to us if you came. So please come. Go to carolines.com for tickets. And Jilly, who is your lady loving today?
Well, Greta, I think that I'm kind of stealing the one that you suggested because I'm a big
fan. It can be our Lady Lovin'. Our Lady Lovin' today is Ariana Grande because she, you know, with the tragic passing of Mac Miller, and you know, the internet really came for her. Everyone was blaming her for his death and you know, all of that stuff is just so upsetting to me. Like, she's already dealing with the fact that someone that she was in love with and someone that she still loves as a person can, you know, died in such a tragic way. And I just felt so bad for her with what happened with the internet. And she's been dealing with so much internet bullshit, too, with her other relationship. And we just want to send her our lady lovin' as she's going through this difficult time.
Beautifully said.
Yeah. All right, Jilly. Well, I hope you have a great day. I hope you, you know, do a bunch of cool stuff in New York.
You too in LA, Greta. Sounds like your morning is already off to a good start. So
it is. I'm about to go to the golf store with Abe. So you know how that goes.
Sounds like a dream. Sounds like a dream.
All right, everyone, have a good week and give us 5 stars on iTunes. And definitely. We love you.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.